Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. The show tapes live some weeks on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Check my Twitter feed, ANNZAC, for more. Enjoy the show.
I hope you enjoy the show, but first, I hope you enjoy this advertisement for the Right Stuff Holiday Sale, which is now called the Right Stuff Best Of Sale. You technically missed the holiday sale, but you still have time to get some awesome prices on stuff. The new releases and bestsellers of 2016 are still on sale, and all those mega deals that they had, the one-day sale items, they're back on sale at the crazy mega deal price, so you better get on over there. It's only up for another 3 days. Today's the 23rd. You have the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th. 26th is the last day. You better get over there. Those prices, they're not going to last. So head on over there for the best of sale 2016. Get on over to Right Stuff. Hey, everybody. Welcome to ManCast. I'm Zach Bertie. Jacob's here.
Hello.
How's it going, Jacob?
It's pretty good. I've got reindeer nose on and reindeer antlers, so...
Yeah, you sure do.
I'm feeling festive.
If my voice sounds a little muffled, it's because I'm wearing a stupid Santa Claus beard, and I'm just going to leave it on for the entire show.
I feel like I could traverse the globe and deliver presents to all the little good boys and girls this year.
Yeah? Is that true? Light my way through the fog?
Yep.
Like you do every year in the anime season. It's a metaphor,
yeah.
Right?
I drag heavy-ass sleigh full of bad anime across the world, and you're like...
Bad anime?
How's it going, Rudolph? And I'm like, Super Lovers is terrible.
I brought Super Lovers for everyone this year. Ah, Santa, you're under arrest.
Okay, I'm going to take this off because it's terrible.
Yeah, that thing is...
It's terrible. So now it just looks like I'm wearing a ball gag around my neck.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Anyway, this is more than likely our last podcast for this year. We'll be back more than likely in 2 weeks. But we're coming up on the end of 2016, so we got to talk about the best and worst anime and stuff, you know, everything we've seen this year. Mm-hmm. We're fast coming up on, like, all of ANN's, you know, end of the year stuff. So, like, this Friday, by the time you read this or hear this... Read this. The time you see this or hear this, the best of fall 2016 will be up on the site. Mm-hmm. And then come next week, the day after Christmas, we start our that whole week, which is the last full week of December, is all of our best of 2016. And it's like...
We have extra categories and stuff.
Extra categories.
Favorite anime.
Yeah, there's three lists a day. Like, it's a lot of stuff. So
right. So
get ready for that. It should be a super good time. But today, we're just going to talk a little casually about all that stuff. Interestingly, we are talking... This is Wednesday. We decided to tape the show a little early because a lot of people... travel Thursday and Friday right before Christmas. They took Friday off, so they're traveling Thursday or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they expressed a desire to have the show a little early, a couple days early. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're doing it a little early. Today is also the season finale, the season finale of Yuri on Ice.
It's like, oh, they're making more after that, you know.
Which we have been talking about every week for the last 3 months. So I suppose we should talk about the ending. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and do that as spoiler-free as we can. yeah, I mean, we're going to attempt to do that. Like, right. I don't intend on spoiling the last episode. It aired just a few hours ago.
Right.
But I don't know, man. What did you think? What did you think overall?
I was really happy with it. I thought it was a really good show. It was, like, not perfect, but nothing is. I feel like it's weird to say, like, oh, it should have been perfect. I don't...
Yeah, that's not really...
Yeah, there wasn't anything... Yeah, there weren't any, like, major problems that I had with it or anything. Like, it was just... It was structurally a little rocky at times, but that's, like... To me, like, saying structurally it was rocky is, like, saying, like, oh, during Yuri's, like, big emotional overreaching performance, he tripped and fell and his, like, hand touched the ice on one of the jumps that he did. Like... You don't really care, you know, that it had shortcomings in terms of in terms of trying to pack in too many storylines or doing too much skating in place of like character work when he needed to fill in some gaps or whatever. But because all the stuff that it did so well, and people just, you know, freaked out. So before I forget that this happened in the future, just like marking it down, the show crashed Crunchyroll and Tumblr in the same day. It crashed both sites because the thirst was so strong for the end of that show, and everybody wanted to watch it as soon as it came out, so there wasn't any chance of anyone spoiling it for them or anything. It would just, everyone was so excited, and everybody's home for, you know, the holidays and stuff like that, so it was, boom, like, both sites temporarily crashed. It was pretty great.
Yeah, totally. People were really excited, and I have to be honest with you, Jacob, I don't really know why they were so excited about the final episode of Yuri on Ice. Do you know why?
I mean, yes, I do.
Is it because the emotional climax of Yuri on Ice happened like a month and a half ago?
A month and a half? It happened 2 weeks ago. The emotional climax of Yuri on Ice was indisputably episode 10.
I found myself feeling a little empty at the end of Yuri on Ice, and not because the show wasn't emotionally satisfying, it's just that it was emotionally satisfying in episode 7 or so.
I say 10.
Whenever they kissed, that was episode 7,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, after they kissed, I think the engagement and the revelation.
The engagement was just
Victor
like,
was
oh, this
Yuri.
Is... Like, if you were going to go for this as your emotional climax, maybe you should have saved that for the end. It feels like that's a big moment that you should have built to, like, as the climax of this show. And instead, they did it three episodes early, and then this one felt like kind of a shrug, because their relationship hasn't had any tension in it for, like, half the season.
I can see that. Yeah, well, at the last second, of course, they tried to pull a, like, well, let's break up, and you know that's not going to happen. So there's no tension to that, right? So, but it was a matter of just, is he going to win, and how is he going to win, and how is it going to shake out, which I thought was all executed very well. But you're right. Like, the show climaxed two episodes early. I'm not going to fault it for that much, because it is more cliche, and it is more expected for a romance to end with the first kiss or an engagement or something. And it was kind of nice where it was just like, okay, we've gotten that emotional high out of the way. Now the stakes are, will they stay together? Will forces of their careers pull them apart or whatever? And answering the question of no, it won't. And it's not as heightened, but it's just nice to see this continuing fulfilled relationship. So, you know,
Okay. Well, I guess I found it to be like the back half of Yuri on Ice was just not as exciting or fun. And I was downright bored in a lot of the episodes in the back half, because it's sort of endless skating. And like we were talking about this earlier, that I felt like it was kind of like Death Parade, a show I loved. And I want to stress, I fucking loved Yuri on Ice. It was an incredible show. I loved it start to finish. We're just talking about it, right?
Yeah,
So Death Parade, I loved that show, but it had one central relationship that was fully realized, and everything else was fucking half written and not finished and just bleh, bleh, bleh. Look, we have this one thing, it's enough to fill like six, seven episodes, and then we have to fill in space around that to get this to 12 or 13. And like the characters, their storylines, like JJ's story is sort of half written, it's not finished at all, like right. Pasheet's story was not, it's sort of half there.
Simple.
They spend time on it, but like it's just there kind of to pad it out. And like that's fine, I guess, but it's like Death Parade, where like the central relationship is the only thing you care about. And this is like, if Death Parade, the major moment in the final episode between Dasim and that woman came in like episode 8. And he's Dasim realizes all these things, and they come to this existential
I thought that was the end of
finale.
The whole show.
Yes, imagine
episode.
If it happened in episode 8.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying. And then the rest of it was just like, well, we sure did figure that out.
Yeah, well, I see. Now, there is a big difference between... Now, there's similarities, yes, but to me, there's a big difference
Imagine if the engagement had been at the end of the show. If the engagement had been in this episode alone, it's the first time they brought it up, you would have lost your fucking mind. Fandom would have lost their fucking minds. Can you imagine if they had held it until now?
They lost their minds 2 weeks ago.
If they had held it until now, everyone would have went, would have said, see you next time, and everyone, imagine how great that would have been.
Well,
imagine how great.
Okay, let me speak. However, 2 weeks ago, that already happened, and 2 weeks later, people were still, like, more hyped than they've ever been, even though the climax had already happened. And I think that that's... I think that that's indicative of how much people care about those characters in that world, and they weren't disappointed. It wasn't like, oh, I guess I'll come back to this even though I've lost fervor. Like, they were more excited than they've ever been. I get what you mean. Like, structurally, it's not perfect, but I kind of like that it kept betraying my expectations structurally of where it was going to go, and I could just kind of enjoy this world and those characters. And I enjoyed thematically that I think the end of the show, mostly its goal, because you're right, like the stuff between Yuri and Victor is largely settled. I think largely its goal is bringing back in Yurio because he was kind of neglected and a large part of the back half. And so,
well, which that feels like, oops, well, better shore this
was,
up. Like,
yeah, well, yeah, it's not, it's a little wonky, but it's not, you know, I feel like where the plot structure occasionally suffers, and it's not bad by any means, it's just not perfect. Where the plot structure occasionally suffers, the character work has always been pretty flawless to me. So I think that Yurio, not focusing on him enough, they were kind of fixing that in the end by making Yurio kind of without spoiling anything, Yurio is like the final linchpin that forces Yuri and Victor to come to terms with what they really want out of their relationship and stop couching it in terms of, well, if I win the Grand Prix, well, if I win the gold medal, etc. Yurio sees through that and makes it his own goal to kind of keep them all in his life. He's realized that that's what's important to him. And I thought that that was, you know, like, all that stuff is really good.
It was. Like, you know. It was good. It just, like, well, Yurio's story in particular, like, you were saying, like, there's side material that indicates that, like, he takes care of
his
family through his skating.
Yeah, there's promotional material that basically says Yurio supports his grandfather and the vestiges of his family, which I think is his absentee mother, through his skating, which is never explicitly stated in the show, and it really should be. It's not for some reason.
Why wasn't that part of it? Because that would have given me so much, because I did not really care about Yurio or his story much at all.
I cared about him, but I agree that it was...
It was his entire, like... His B plot felt like it was sort of a half-written aside for most of the show.
Yeah.
And, like, he existed to provide this foil, like, as a fuel for drama between Victor and Yuri, and that's it.
But as fuel for drama, he gets discarded very quickly. So then he's just a reflection of what a younger Victor was like, and then
they bring it back in the
end
for the last two episodes. It's all Yurio's motivation.
Yeah, before that he was kind of neglected for a while because obviously he wasn't. Yuri and Victor were kind of figuring themselves out outside of him, and he was like, I'm gonna take Victor back from you, and they're like, "That's nice, dear," and he's not really considered a threat at all. So, like a little rocky, but I just, the show was so overwhelmingly positive and thoughtful and very emotionally strong in depth emotionally. It drew a lot of really, I don't know how to put it, like I just mature or like. Lived in conveyance of like relationships and how people relate to
each other. Here's what it is. Respect. That's what actual respect for these people as treating these characters as human beings and just giving them the exact same respect that any other couple in any other show would get.
Or, I mean, like, so, kind of more so. It wasn't really a romanticized, I mean, like, there were aspects of it that were very, like, you know, over the top and romantic, but it wasn't. They had very the fight in episode 7 that leads to the kiss, like regardless of the kiss, that fight is like not melodramatic, it's not cliche, it's not couched in like romantic cliches, it's sort of like a fight people would actually have and how it would actually resolve itself. It
like
was,
the characters
know,
like just turn one of them into a woman.
Right.
Okay, you'd still be touched. Uh-huh. It's still an incredibly touching romance. It's still like it that I would feel the same. Like this is a beautiful romance that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Beautiful romance because it's representation, and we live in the times we live in. It feels like it's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. But all this show, all it's doing, is just treating it like it's fucking normal,
right.
And beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Right, and through that, it is definitely making a political statement because...
It absolutely is because of the times that we live in, however, I'm just saying.
And stuff like Peachy, like his story is ancillary to everything, of course, but Peachy's own little story, which is small, is basically about how important representation is for people of different nationalities and countries and you know, like exposing their dreams to a wider world. Like, that's his entire thing. And it doesn't really have anything to do with the story of Yuri and Victor, but it's important because it ties into the whole themes of love and acceptance and, just very progressive ideas throughout the whole thing. The same thing with Georgie and his girlfriend and the small little feminist statement that it makes and, you know, stuff like that, where it's they're side roads, but they are kind of tied into the same world view. They are espousing, like, basically things that the director and the writer believe in.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. No, I liked all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But,
Yeah. I mean, not a flawless show, but what is, I don't, you know, it's
nothing.
We're just talking about it. Yeah. It's the best.
That's the thing about, like, some of this stuff. I feel like you can't, like, you have to be like, all right, I have some criticisms of this. And it's like, no, but it's good. You know that I think it's good. Like, I don't, like, not you, but I'm just saying, like, you don't have to constantly couch it and, like, no, but I love the show, so,
yeah,
like,
you shouldn't, yeah, you
I've
shouldn't
said it enough.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to. I was just
it's
like...
It's all right to talk about the stuff you didn't like. It's okay. It's not, you're not a bad guy for doing that, so...
Yeah. That shit doesn't bother me as much with this. I was just, you know... I was always continually blown away by how ambitious it was. Like,
I got really sick of it.
You know, honestly, it's the same
thing...
You
never seem to have, but I got super tired of it.
It's the same thing as Blood Blockade, Battlefront, and a couple other my favorite shows. Like, if I can say that one of the biggest flaws of a show is that it's too ambitious, that it tries to do too much, then I kind of it's sort of a backhanded compliment, really. It's like, oh, this is a genuine problem. I'm not saying this is a good thing about it, but it's a genuine problem that I happen to enjoy when stuff tries too hard to do too much.
Yeah.
Which is definitely Yuri on Ice. It's like ambitions beyond their grasp, and it's still enough. It's still enough to be the best to me.
Yeah. I mean, ambitions, like, mostly realized.
Mostly,
I would say,
yeah.
Like, they're, like, probably 80% of the way there. Like, they probably, if they had had an extra year to make the show, there would have been more skating routines and everything, but they didn't.
Yeah, and speaking last of which, thing we have to mention, I guess without spoilers, but the exhibition at the end is a, definitely, again, for political statements and just for the thing you kind of hope, but you really don't know if they're going to animate. Like, people are like, oh, well, they didn't actually get married, or they didn't say I love you or whatever. But to me, just the end credits of the last episode, the exhibition skate that is shown, is very, I think it's even stronger than them just saying I love you or whatever. It's animating that, which is a thing that doesn't happen in the real world, because ice skating, you know, they wouldn't allow that to happen necessarily. Like, that's crazy. So that's great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good shit. I liked it a lot. I didn't really have time to watch much of nothing else. I meant to get to Girlish Number, and then we're trying to get everything ready for the end of the year. So, like, it's a real busy time just in the last couple of days up to Christmas. You know, because I have all those toys I need to deliver.
It's a whole lot of work.
Yeah, right. So we were going to talk a little bit about some of, like, because, you know, it's the end of the year. We were going to talk about, like, the best stuff that we've seen this year, you know, the cliche end of the year shit. But I still haven't seen, like, a lot of the Oscar movies.
Me neither,
like, we haven't gone. Like, last night we just saw La La Land, which was really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was one of the best things that, like, I liked it a lot.
It's like a really, really, really good trifle, but it is a trifle.
Yeah, it's a candy bar.
It's the best. It's like the best kind of candy bar, but it is not anything more than a candy bar. Intentionally, like the movie's point is almost like, this is nostalgic and out of date, but I love it, and you should love it too. Like, as expressed directly by the characters. So, you know.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had to pick, like, what are the five best movies I saw this year? It would be on there just because, like, I'm not sure I've seen, like, five really great movies this year.
This year's pretty weak for.
Yeah. But before we really get into that, we should roll back to anime for a moment. Has anything else that you were watching wrapped up or close to wrapping up that you wanted to comment on?
Let me look at the big old board here that we have that has everything airing so I can, so Haikyuu ended, and I've never really talked about Haikyuu on the Ancast because there's not much to talk about because it is one volleyball game played over 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It's like, what? They did what? But it is, I really haven't talked about it on the Ancast because there's not really anything to describe except for spoilers, but it's really good. Like, one of the best sports anime I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Outstanding, not counting Yuri on Ice. I don't really call Yuri on Ice a sports
anime. It's not a sports anime.
You can categorize it that way. It's like a dramedy. It's a romance.
It's a romance.
Yeah.
Yuri on Ice is a rom-com.
It is a, well, yeah, it's a romance dramedy that happens to use sports as a backdrop. But, like, Haikyuu was like a sports anime, and it was mind-blowingly good. I don't really feel like I could say much more about it, because you're going to see I've written about it on the site by the time this goes up. But, yeah, it was crazy that it's just one volleyball match strung out of over 10 episodes, and it really feels like you're watching it in real time. And Production IG, like, animated the shit out of it, and it's crazy. It most high-tension sports anime I think I've ever watched.
Really?
So that was good. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you can't really appreciate it unless you've seen the first two seasons. You're wiggling your beard in there. Mm-hmm. You can't really appreciate it unless you've seen the first two seasons, though. You can't watch it standalone, but, because it really wouldn't, it builds on a lot of, it just builds on character stuff from the beginning of the show. So, you know, you gotta get through like 50 episodes of volleyball to get to this 10 episode, like, whammy volleyball season. But, what else was there? Right, so Isetta the Last Witch ended.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone, like, I stopped, like, three episodes in. I was like, eh, nah.
Yeah.
Everything I saw on Twitter was just like, nope, nope. And that was, like, two or three weeks ago. So how did it, what happened?
So should I just describe in brief what happened?
Because I mean, okay, don't spoil the ending.
Okay. Describing in brief what happened kind of sums up to you why it's bad.
Okay. So, okay, then we'll put a spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. This is 19 minutes and 48 seconds in.
Right.
Spoiler alert for Isetta the Last Witch.
Right. So, they're fighting off the not-Nazis, the not-Germans.
The Nazis.
The Nazis. And turns out the Nazis basically unearth and clone the original White Witch of Elystadt. So she comes back, and she's a woman scorned.
No.
She was burned, you know, she was executed because of internal politics and whatever. And so she comes back, she's a woman scorned, and so now the Nazis have the original White Witch, and Elystadt has the other White Witch, and there's lots of almost sort of kind of implied lesbian kissing and biting and stuff, and then they have to fight the Nazi witch with their witch, and there's two halves of, like, a stone that gives them impossible magic powers, but it sucks all of the magic out of the countryside and shit, and so it's stupid. Anyway, it's just dumb. It's just a dumb Yoshino thing. Like, it's not bad, it's just like, it's, I mean, it is bad, but it's bad in a way that's not particularly outlandish. It's just a, what's the anime checklist for, like, a dumb anime way to handle an alternate history thing? This.
The seven crystals, and yeah. It turns out there's four metaphysical halves to the witch.
Right, and none of it really means anything. It's just like, oh, well, we have this secret weapon. Oh, well, we're going to use the Nazi witch to power a nuke that blows up things, and the good witch has to stop the Nazi witch, and maybe she loves the princess, but we don't actually say that she does. We just want you to draw the, like, we just want you to, like, gape at them, like, staring into each other's eyes a little bit. Like, it's just dumb. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of it. The animation really begins to collapse.
Oh, yeah?
As well. Yeah, there's still a couple really nicely animated shots and sequences in it, but it gets real, like,
wonky looking.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, really, like, sharp lines with no details and, like, little peanuts eyes on people, you know? And, yeah, but, you know, it wasn't bad. It was just, like, anime.avi for an alternate history thing. It was like somebody took this, is like, saw Maria the Virgin Witch, Yoshino saw Maria the Virgin Witch and said, here's my extremely, like, shruggy guy who likes big boobed anime girls take on that. And that was it. So, you know.
Well, anything else?
Anyway. What else ended? Magical Girl Raising Project ended. That was really solid material with the most, I think, asleep at the wheel execution I've seen in a long time.
Hmm.
It was like, this could have been really interesting, but it's just on autopilot. There wasn't anything about the direction or the pacing or whatever that elevated the material, and it could have been. So that's just kind of shrug, and there's not much to say about that except that it could have been a really interesting show, and it just was an interesting script that was kind of hampered by the execution. I don't know. I guess that's it for stuff that's ended, but,
it's a lot of anime.
Yeah. That's a lot of shows.
Well, it's the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Heading into another one.
Yep.
A lot of sequels.
Yes.
Not a lot else.
It's a little bit bare, but we always say that, and there's always just enough to buoy.
You always say that, and there's always like one or two little original things you didn't really see coming, and turns out there's a few watchable things.
Yeah, I mean, Fall was packed with quality. That was just the stuff I mentioned that ended, and it was all like in some way discussable. There's stuff that hasn't quite ended yet that's, you know, interesting, and it's just all kind of...
You know. There's always something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find out our best anime of 2016 next week and our best of fall on... I'm not doing a best of fall because I only watched two shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll do a best of 2016. Mm-hmm. So that's Friday. Mm-hmm. That's when people will see your best of fall. But in terms of like movies, my list is like really, really short. There's like three or four things on it that I can even think of that, that I liked, and still the best movie I've seen was Your Name. Like, that's still the best movie I've seen this year.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. Like, which doesn't ever happen usually. It's not usually an anime movie. I'm not that much of a weeb where an anime movie is better than the other movies I saw that year, but yeah, I think so. I like... It was just, I feel like all the really good prestige movies mostly we haven't seen yet, and so it's a bunch of franchise movies, and a lot of those were not good this year.
Well, they were just more franchise movies.
Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Civil War, I didn't like any of those, so, you know.
I mean, Batman vs. Superman, I wouldn't put that in the same, like, box as Suicide.
No, I disliked all of them. I didn't like Rogue One either. No, Civil War was 1,000 times better than those other two. I'm just saying I didn't like them. Like Rogue One.
You didn't enjoy them.
Rogue One, on a par with Civil War in terms of like this is not a bad film. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'm just saying I didn't enjoy it.
You were super bored. I was super entertained. I was like, this is so good. Mm-hmm. And then. Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't seen Handmaiden or Moonlight or any of that, so...
Nope, none of that shit.
Not yet.
We'll go over Christmas.
Right.
That's the plan. I liked Rogue One. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. I mean, it's kind of... It's really boring.
It's so fucking boring,
like,
man.
It's just like his Godzilla movie. Uh-huh. 80 minutes of fucking nothing, and then you get to the good part.
Well, and I would have been fine with it. I would have been fine with the dour war movie tone if the characters had any personality, and they didn't. Like, he didn't give a personality to, like, a single one of those guys.
I'm telling you, I
was less firm on this when we first exited the theater and stuff like that, but, like, after a lot of other people have talked about the movie, it's made it more clear. It's like, yeah, like, name a trait that these characters have. You can do the red letter media test on those characters. You can. You totally can. They have very little personality.
Yeah, no, I know that. Mm-hmm. There's not, like, actually, it's not so much that they have so little personality, it's that they're boring characters.
Right.
There's nothing really to them except brave, stoic, I don't know, harried, deadpan.
Resistant. Like, resistant and then not inexplicably.
She's a rebel.
That's it. Without a cause, apparently, because I couldn't follow her character arc at all.
That's the weird thing that weirds me out in that movie. So there's a moment where Rebel Girl goes to Forrest Whitaker, Cyborg Forrest Whitaker, and he's like, wait, so you don't give a shit at all about defeating the evil empire? And she's like, nope. And he's like, you don't really? Nope. And she says, not much difference if you don't look up. He makes a metaphor about like you don't have a problem seeing your flag replaced with an imperial flag, and she's not much of a difference if you don't look up. And I'm thinking to myself, did you really just say that? Mm-hmm. And did you intend to mean like for us to think that you meant it for even like a fucking second that you're honestly making the argument that life has continued as normal if you don't pay attention to
literally
politics
her
in the Star Wars universe.
Literally her
because
father.
Because we just watched the Empire.
Literally your dad was kidnapped by the Empire. And Forrest Whitaker's like, let me show you something.
Yeah.
And
he shows that's her, a pretty good Forrest Whitaker.
Will you continue to fight?
You have to fight!
So
fight!
He continues. It's really funny with the Santa beard. So... Anyway, he's like, well, let me show you something that'll change your mind. And I was like, oh, is he going to show her the, like, oppression of the planets or something like that, or, you know, this horrible super weapon that they're building or whatever? No, he shows her a hologram of her dad who says, they're building a super weapon. Also, I love you. And she's like, Daddy, I love you too. And it's like, the character arcs in this were hard to follow, were hard to, like,
I
didn't make
hard
much
time
sense.
With them. It was fine. I thought it was fine. Anyway. I like Diego Luna. I think he's good. His character, he didn't have anything to do, but he sold that character and I cared about him.
I did.
And I liked, and the ending, like the
Diego
last, like,
Luna.
The last, like, the last, like, 30 minutes are good.
Last 10 minutes.
They have, no, like 30 minutes.
10 minutes.
When that Mon Calamari shows up, it's pretty good from there on out. He shows up and the movie's pretty good. Like, if you're watching the movie, you haven't seen it yet, there's a Mon Calamari, he's like blue, and he shows up like near the end.
So is that, and, does that mean that he's like a freshwater Mon Calamari and the red ones are like saltwater Mon Calamari?
Probably.
Is it an age thing? Is it freshwater, saltwater?
These, I mean, he's questions. Younger for sure.
Right.
But anyway, when he shows up, the movie suddenly gets exciting and there's like stakes and it matters and it's good.
There was one time that my dander got up, like my, like, oh my gosh, I'm paying attention. And there's one moment in the movie. Can I spoil it? Or... It's not a plot point. It's
man,
just
all
a
we
thing
do is just give away the endings of things.
No, it's not a part of the ending. It's just a thing that happens.
It's gonna be, you're gonna say it. It's gonna be like something huge.
Star Destroyer cow tipping.
Oh no, that's fine.
Yes, that was the one time I went, holy shit, that's awesome, and then I fell asleep again. Not literally. I was awake through the whole movie. But
I mean,
I
you
was
don't
like,
want to tell people that they get the Death Star plans out.
No, yeah, that's a big spoiler. But no, they play like this little bitty rebel ship plays Star Destroyer cow tipping, which I thought was like. The highlight of the movie and, like, weirdly the most successful visual metaphor for the whole anti-imperialism thing that they were trying to do, but it was most of the movie.
Shoving one Star Destroyer into another?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he pushes really hard and he's, like, sacrificing all of his strength to push just the nose of the Star Destroyer into the other one and then they go, like, down like dominoes. And it's fucking great. But mostly thematically the movie was totally hollow. So I just, you know.
I didn't think it was thematically hollow.
Unsuccessful.
I totally disagree with that. I think it was pretty successful at what I was trying to say. Mm. I appreciated it. I appreciated that.
I appreciated that they tried to do something different.
Also, it was 100% made for dudes like me in their,
no, that's the thing,
in
yeah.
their mid fucking 30s.
It was
30s.
Made for dudes in their mid fucking 30s
who
take
play,
Star
like,
Wars
who
really
play a
seriously.
Lot of fucking like Call of Duty.
Yeah, that
it
is what
made
it's
for.
Made for. I think that comment has been made by a lot of people. They were like, this is a really good Star Wars movie for men aged 35 to 40 who were really into Star Wars at a very specific time. For everyone else, it is a night is a sleep aid. You know, so I mean, like, I understand.
Well, the thing is, I acknowledged that while I was sitting there watching it.
Uh-huh. It makes sense. I guess I'm talking about it so much because I wanted to like Rogue One. I really liked The Force Awakens
just
wanna, a lot.
This is for dads. Half the theater gets up and walks out.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed The Force Awakens
this
so much.
This is for your stupid fucking dad. And everyone's like, oh, God. And they get up and leave.
I enjoyed The Force Awakens so much, but I, this one was...
Oh, nothing. I loved The Force Awakens.
Right.
That's like my new favorite Star Wars movie.
Well, you went to see The Force Awakens like 12 times in theaters. You're not going to do that.
I saw it like four times.
I didn't know the number. I just made one up.
Five times. Maybe.
Right. Five times in theaters. You're not going to go see Rogue One like in theaters or whatever.
No.
It's
not again.
It's on a different level. You liked it, but it's on a different level.
Like, I'm not sure I'll buy the Blu-ray. Mm. Like, well, no, I probably will.
Yeah.
But it'll be on cable, and I'm not sure. Like, if that movie were on cable and it was, like, half over, mm-hmm. you'd be like, I'll come back to this when it's just about at the end.
Oh, no, I wouldn't watch it again.
You would skip back to... Well, I would. I would come back to the last third. Mm. Probably.
Right.
More than likely. The people I don't get are the ones who were like, it's now my second favorite or my favorite Star Wars movie. Like, I understand responding to, like, what they were doing and everything... But saying that this side story that is almost entirely reliant on, like, being extremely familiar with all the films that came before is the best one, I get you liked it, but let's not say crazy shit, all right? Because it's not anywhere near the best Star Wars movie.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer didn't like many big-budget movies this year.
Yeah, he's tired of talking about Star Wars.
Okay, Ralph Red-Nosed Reindeer has had enough of comic books and Star Wars.
Yeah, well, anyway, so Rogue One was okay.
It existed.
So what else did you see this year that like really stuck out to you?
Movies, Zootopia, definitely. Zootopia is a big one. The Jungle Book, which we watched like twice, and I was like, yep, this is still really good.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I like that movie a lot.
Well, with other interesting things. I mean, Arrival was really good.
Oh, yeah. Arrival.
And...
it was okay. I forgot I saw it. I think I just see too much shit now.
Yeah, and for trifles, for Shrugadillos, I would say Hail Caesar and The Nice Guys are both kind of had the same appeal. They're good movies in that same vein.
Yeah, I remembered those. I was like, oh, yeah, Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar, Nice Guys, good show.
Nice Guys was good, too. Another good movie with Ryan Gosling in it.
Yeah, he's two for two. this year anyway, because he was in some bad stuff. Remember Mobster Squad? What the hell was it called?
Gangster Squad.
Gangster Squad. God. Why was that movie? Why was it?
That movie had some problems.
It did. And then Neighbors 2 and Popstar for like shruggy comedy stuff that was really,
just
really
going
funny.
Down the list.
Well, I was trying to think of Neighbors 2 and Popstar were like the funniest things I saw this
year. I think Popstar is like the most underrated, underseen, like no one saw it.
It was really,
really funny.
It's really funny.
Really, if you like it, anything the Lonely Island guys have ever done, like you should see it.
Right.
It's good.
But yeah, Neighbors 2 was also really funny. They're just comedies, but you know, whatever. Swiss Army Man is one of my favorite movies of the year, definitely.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
That was so wacky. It's basically, if anybody who's not sure, it's like Swiss Army Man is going to be too weird for me. If you consider yourself a shit poster, if you consider yourself like, if your aesthetic is shit post LOL, then go see this movie. This is shit post the movie. You will enjoy it.
Yeah.
That is the entire point of the film is, you know, insincere sincerity. This shit post the movie. But I guess that's it. The franchise movie that I enjoyed the most this year, weirdly enough, was Star Trek Beyond, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoyed it more than the other franchise movies.
Not Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows?
I didn't see that one.
Not Captain America Civil War?
I didn't like it.
Not Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
It had a lot of problems. I appreciated what it was trying to do, but it wasn't as solid as Star Trek Beyond.
Not Suicide Squad?
God, no.
Not The Secret Life of Pets?
Didn't see that one either.
Not Moana?
We already talked about Moana.
Not Deadpool?
I didn't like Deadpool.
Not X-Men Apocalypse?
That was awful.
Trying to think of other franchises.
I should clarify. I didn't dislike Deadpool. I just didn't. Its sense of humor is a little bit.
I liked Deadpool. It was funny.
No, it was a good movie.
That movie had no reason to be good, and it was great.
It had no reason.
You know
to
what
be
else
good?
Was really good? Hardcore Henry. Thumbs up. That's my number five best movie of the year.
Really?
Hardcore Henry. Hell yeah. That movie fucking ruled. It was so good.
I enjoyed it, but it's...
That's the only movie that the descriptor it ruled applies to is Hardcore Henry.
Yeah. I want to clarify about Deadpool. It was a good movie that I didn't really like very much. There you go. So it was a very well-constructed script. It had a solid sense of humor. So like, the problem entirely for me is that sense of humor did not gel with my sense of humor. That's it. It was pot shots. It was a little South Parky.
I expected Deadpool to be the worst thing ever.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't.
Exactly. I have nothing but respect for Deadpool. I just didn't enjoy it very much. That's all.
Somebody brought up Shin Godzilla. Yeah, I really liked Shin Godzilla.
Shin Godzilla was really good.
That was super cool. Mm-hmm. I was talking to... it's interesting. I was at the Makoto Shinkai press conference, which you can read a transcript of on Anime News Network right now, by the way. And the guy next to me was asking me about where I worked and everything, and he was telling me how much he was into Godzilla movies. And I asked him, did you see Shin Godzilla? What'd you think? And he's like, he went through this thing, and it was exactly the response I expected, which is, well, I really appreciated what they were trying to do, but I'm just not that familiar with Japanese politics. So I was sitting there a little confused, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of the downfall of that one.
Right.
Like, I totally loved it, but I have like a second grade understanding of Japanese politics, mm-hmm. enough to get what's happening in that movie. And I watch enough anime
to
if you watch a lot of anime, you will kind of get some of the political stuff in Shin Godzilla. You have to know more than that, but a rudimentary. But if you don't have any interest, or like not necessarily no interest, but just no exposure, like it's just not part of your daily diet. Yeah, I feel like Shin Godzilla maybe is a little.
All right, so you have to explain why Hardcore Henry is like your number five.
I don't know if it's actually my number five, but I just thought it was a really, really fun, really, really engaging action movie. I just thought it was fresh and like I hadn't seen anything, and it's super anime, and I like that grungy VHS tape. Bullshit. I like it.
I really enjoyed it. It's just I enjoyed it in spite of itself. It is like watching. It's the kind of enjoyment you get from like watching Jackass. It is a grimy teenage boy aesthetic movie.
Yeah.
But it's done to the T, like for that aesthetic. It's good.
Hardcore Henry is like it's in a paper bag with a Sega Genesis Mortal Kombat and a Playboy.
Yes.
And I like that.
Well, I appreciate
I was that kind of dirtbag kid. So.
Yeah, I appreciate. Here's the thing. I enjoyed that movie.
I didn't have the Playboy.
I enjoyed that movie. I appreciate it 100% on the same level that you do. I would feel bad putting it on a best movies list because it is grime. It is unabashed grime. It's like putting Keijo on a best anime list. I love the hell out of Keijo, but I wouldn't put it on a best list because it's like I love it for bad reasons. Hardcore Henry and Keijo. I love these for bad reasons, so maybe... You know.
I mean, legit though, The Witch would be like way high up on my list. I love that movie. I thought that was super good.
I think it's a really, really good horror movie. Message wise, on a deeper level, I have problems with it, but those are all really personal. So
yeah.
Because I came from a background that's a little similar to what's being talked about in The Witch. So, you know, it's a little close to home, but it's a really masterful horror movie. Scary as hell. Like, and sad nobody went to see it, but it seems like it's picked up like a cult following. You know?
Yeah. Well, no, people went and saw it.
I thought it bombed, like, really bad.
No, they kept it in theaters for a while, and it didn't cost very much to make that, believe it or not.
Got in the woods, builds some ugly shacks, and...
Yeah. Yeah, no, the movie that really sticks out to me is Your Name, like, shit, that was super, super good. And I'm glad that, like, a lot of other critics feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel
It's set to take out Spirited Away. It's almost...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Almost
outgrossed Spirited Away.
Worldwide or in Japan?
Worldwide?
I was about to say, it's not going to outgross it in Japan. That's like Titanic.
Maybe in Japan. It is literally like 1 million less right now or something.
Worldwide?
I don't remember.
That has to be worldwide, because it's about to cross 300 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. Spirited Away's made way more than that worldwide, I thought.
No, they're both in the 280 million range.
Really? I'm going to have to look this up. We shouldn't
it's
just be speculating.
It's 1 million less, and I think it's a worldwide gross. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out. I hope that... I feel like there's momentum behind it. People really like the film, and it's doing crazy, crazy numbers. All of that is incredibly good for its Oscar prospects.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Like, that's really good. I bet you will see Makoto Shinkai at the Oscars this year.
Yeah.
I would put money on it. You're going to see him there.
Hmm.
Funimation must be real fucking excited. Right. Really excited. Like, oh man, they must be stoked.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I'm stoked.
I wonder who in the Funimation office gets to go to the Oscars. Isn't their new CEO is like former Universal, so fucking him.
Right.
That's what it is.
Me, that's who.
Yeah. Let's see here. Anything else that really sticks out?
We already mentioned Fantastic Beasts.
I liked Fantastic Beasts. I respect that movie. I respect and appreciate that movie a lot more than I enjoy it. Does that make sense?
I liked it, but I liked mostly the last third. The first two thirds, I'm like, where is this going? The first two thirds are messy to bad, and then the last third is really good. So I feel like I just have torn feelings on Fantastic Beasts. But I have love in my heart for it. It gave me feelings. Like, here's the thing. Civil War is like a better put together movie. Rogue One, probably a better put together movie than Fantastic Beasts. But Fantastic Beasts gave me feelings, and the other two didn't.
I cried during Rogue One. You're like, you're such a fucking mark.
Yep, read my mind. No, it's okay. That's totally fine. I just...
There's a lot of 37-year-old men crying in Rogue One, Jacob. Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's how subjective and wibbly-wobbly art can be. I almost said time.
You
I almost shoot my face
did.
I want to shoot
I
myself in the face.
Canceled this podcast forever.
That's how wibbly-wobbly art can be. I acknowledge that Civil War and Rogue One are both much better movies as far as how they are put together. Fantastic Beasts made me feel something. Like, I was emotionally invested and moved by it, and I wasn't in the other two movies, even though I know it was a much worse movie. And that's not franchise attachment. I don't have any investment in the Harry Potter franchise. Like, at all. I haven't seen all of the movies. Yeah, he does. I haven't seen all the movies. I've seen like three or four of them. So I had to keep asking Zach what the Harry Potter things meant in the movie. But it's still like emotionally what it was going for and what it was saying and the acting and stuff like that. Like I felt feelings. So anyway, but all that stuff, you know, it's nebulous. It's hard to just categorize it as this is better than this and this is better than this. Like there's a lot more to be discussed than that. You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah. Just make the Cursed Child movies. I just want to see those.
That's gonna be long and full. And...
Cursed Child was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. Let's see. I can name the worst movies I've seen this year.
Oh boy,
that's easy for me to
do.
Yay! I watch a lot of really bad movies.
We go out of our way to find these terrible movies.
Worst movie and maybe new top 10 at least. I don't know about top 5, but top 10 worst
top
movies
10 worst
of all time,
movies.
Definite. New one, Yoga Hosers.
The Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. On Netflix now, if you want to torture yourself with it, don't do that.
No.
It's not like, let's get my friends
together
and watch a bad movie.
It has one star on Netflix.
Don't Yeah, it has one star on Netflix.
Yes. Please process this information.
Land of the accurate ratings, Netflix.
And yes, it is. For those who are not familiar with this, this is Kevin Smith's birthday gift to his daughter.
Yeah,
and
do you remember
Johnny
after?
Daughter.
You remember After Earth? Like Will Smith and
gave a gift.
Yeah, gave
to
a gift. Yeah. So this is what if they didn't have any? Instead of money, they had none, and instead of M. Night Shyamalan, they had Kevin Smith.
And Johnny Depp is in it. With his
wearing
daughter.
Ugly makeup the entire time,
yeah,
to mitigate the damage that he's potentially doing to his paycheck.
There are little bratwurst Nazis.
It's horrible. Anyway, Nine Lives, the Kevin Spacey cat movie, talking cat movie, was
just as bad as you think it is. It's weirdly like it. The thing that the trailer doesn't convey, if you haven't seen it, is it's really mean spirited, and especially like you know what you shouldn't make. A cat movie that hates cats, hates cats and cat owners, anybody who might like a cat. It's like abusing cats, killing cats, saying cats are stupid and selfish. Like, maybe don't do that in the cat movie. Like, anyway, that to add to how bad everything else is in it. You know?
Yeah. Let's see. Alice Through the Looking Glass was number three. Easy number three.
That movie is like falling apart as you try to
watch it, it falls apart. It's like you're playing a video game that hasn't been like quality tested or anything.
Yeah,
and, like it doesn't really even have an ending. Like you're just and like you lose and like it's falling apart in front of you, but you're still losing interest. Like it's boring and
it's so bad.
And the Independence Day Resurgence, which had no reason to exist at all.
I didn't see that.
And was so long and so boring and so,
Sacha Baron Cohen was also...
torture.
Sacha Baron Cohen was in Alice Through the Looking Glass. He was intolerable in it. And he was also in The Brothers Grimsby, which we didn't finish.
We were not able to finish.
We tried to watch and we gave up because it was so terrible.
Anyway, those are all really bad movies. Well,
what's the best bad movie?
Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
Hands down, Gods of Egypt. Easy. The reason we do this is because you're always looking for the next great bad movie. Last year it was Pan, which is like new, like all-time great bad movie. Like incredibly bad decisions from beginning to end. Entertainingly terrible from start to finish. Gods of Egypt is more boring.
The mermaids have charged these waters with memories.
Yeah. Nothing really has come to Pan levels yet this year, but like Gods of Egypt comes close-ish. The middle of it sags,
the last
but
30 minutes, 40 minutes are really
it's dull. For your bad movie dollar.
Yes,
it is worth it.
The first two-thirds are fantastic for your bad movie dollar, and then the last 40 minutes are dull, but it's worth it. It's less boring for 40 minutes for an amazingly hilariously bad. Gerard Butler shaking the plastic sword.
Yeah. There's a lot of Gerard Butler with a plastic sword in that movie. You see that plastic sword wobbling around.
So good.
A lot. Yeah. The magic of Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. They make a 4K Blu-ray of that, which I want to get that and just pause it. Like a lot. Like it was never meant to be seen at this resolution.
Batman versus Superman, a movie seen by everyone and liked by almost nobody.
Yeah, I was running a poll earlier today on Twitter, just a little impromptu straw poll that was like, hey, what's the worst movie of the year? And I just listed everything I had seen that was bad, which was just about everything terrible. And Batman versus Superman is currently winning that poll. But I think that's just because a lot more people have seen it. Mm-hmm. Like a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Yoga Hosers has as many votes as it does and is number two, like it's fairly neck and neck, says that shows you what those bad, like polls for bad things. It's always whatever the bad thing is that everyone saw.
Yeah.
So like if Rogue One were terrible, everyone would list that, you know, because everyone saw it.
Right.
Everybody
suffered through Granny's peach tea.
Yeah. We all sure did.
We did.
And then the extended version.
One last bad movie that is not among the worst things this year, but among like the most, I think, tragic. Like, oh, this is like bad in a way that's like this person's vision and not like Hollywood meddling. Warcraft.
Oh,
just watching somebody's terrible D&D campaign.
Warcraft was. I get it. I get what he was doing there. I just don't think it worked at all. And neither did the American. It made like $40 million in America. No one fucking saw that thing.
It was a hot mess.
Nope.
Hot boo-boo mess. Oh, and last thing, you got to mention Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, do you?
It's pretty bad.
We won't remember that 2 minutes from this conference. This podcast is going to end and you will forget.
Legend it has some amazingly terrible CG. It is weirdly joyless and awkward, and the dialogue is hilarious. It opens with Sam Jackson explaining who Tarzan is to himself.
You know, that reminds me. You know what looks pretty good? What? That Kong Skull Island. The King Kong movie.
That looks really interesting.
That's a pretty good premise. Uh-huh. Good cast.
I was watching the trailer, and I was having flashbacks to watching the trailer for Mad Max Fury Road and going, this looks really unique.
I wonder if it's secretly great.
We'll see, you know.
That would be really cool and fun if it were. Because it looks like super fun. Anyway. All right. Well, I guess we should go ahead and get to our Twitter questions. Mm-hmm. How about it? We didn't get that many this time. Mm-hmm. We had sort of short notice on this little show here.
Ask Rudolph and Santa a question.
Yeah. Kiss Tash asks, worst movie of 2016 you had to watch in the theater? Well, that would have been
Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, because I don't think
anything worse than that we saw. Well, everything else was rental, so.
Everything else was a rental. Mm-hmm. So it was Batman vs. Superman, I guess. Evan Jones asks, if you could recommend 3 series for filthy casuals who had very little time, free time, what would they be? Okay, so we were just talking about this, and I feel like with Yuri on Ice, now I have 3 like easy ones to throw out every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yuri on Ice, mm-hmm. One Punch Man, mm-hmm. Space Dandy.
Yeah. Those are good choices.
What would you say?
I mean, I could come up with 3 more or 3 other, but like those 3 are good. I might swap Space Dandy. Like, unless they've already seen it, I might swap Space Dandy with Cowboy Bebop because.
Sure, if they haven't already seen it.
If they haven't already seen it, but a lot of people have, but, you know.
Cowboy Bebop's on, like. Well, it's on Funimation, right?
Yeah, I think. Are they adding it to Crunchyroll? Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, it's on Crunchyroll.
Oh, okay.
You can watch it there. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, you know, the Netflixes and Hulus of the world.
Right, they haven't put it on Netflix now.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Let's see here. Kyle Cardine asks, have you finished Final Fantasy XV yet? Nope. Thoughts on the direction of the game or a story patching situation? So, I was going to play it a bunch over Christmas, they're going to patch. I guess they're going to patch story stuff in, so maybe I should wait for that. I'm in, like, episode 6, chapter 6. It's fun. It's a little too zen for me. It does move a little too slow. I like it for a little while. The thing is, like, randomly started playing Chrono Trigger again, and now I'm, like, super into that. So, I guess I'm playing Chrono Trigger for a little while. This happens sometimes. This just happens sometimes.
You can join the currently running Chrono Trigger discourse.
Yeah, exactly. Grant the Thief asks, do either of you have any anime-related holiday traditions? Besides the, you know, Itsudare My Santa.
Oh, God.
Nope. Not really.
No.
There's not really great Christmas anime or anything. Like,
no, I just watch the same Christmas movies that everybody watches around the holidays. And,
yeah.
Let's see Christmas movies.
Let's see. Okay, we're almost at the end of our Twitter questions. Andrew K. wants to know, what is the one Christmas present you most hope to get this year? I already have what I want. We got married earlier this year, and I couldn't ask for anything better than that.
I'm not a real materialistic bitch, so... Yeah. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men would be real nice.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be fucking
great. I'm
gonna
unwrap that somehow.
Yeah. No, I don't have, you know, Christmas wish list. I'm pretty happy with my life, so.
Yeah, things are pretty good.
Yeah.
We're working a lot.
Yeah.
This is a really worky Christmas season. Usually we can take a little bit of time off, and next week we should be able to take a little bit of time off. But we've been super, super busy.
Yeah.
And it's good busy. It's all great busy. Like, you're going to see a lot of new stuff next year on ANN. But, yeah, anyway, I guess that, so let's take, we got time for a question or two from the chat here. Chat, got anything for us? Let's see. Kaylin Evergreen is asking about Sound Euphonium 2. We will watch that and talk about it some, like, next month or the something. We should still talk about it.
Really?
Do you think we should still talk about it?
I don't know. I don't really want to...
go back to it? We'd have to go back to it.
I wouldn't... You will. I'm not going to rewatch it.
We'd have to go back.
Right. I mean, I don't know that if there's a lot to talk about. I had a thing that I wanted to talk about around episode 6, and that seems like forever ago now. But, like, you know.
I don't think I don't want to dismiss it.
No.
Still want to talk about it. You know what we should do? We should do a podcast episode on both seasons. We should have a series discussion.
Yes.
Why don't we commit? Why don't we say right now, commit our next series discussion is Sound Euphonium.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Don't be so happy about it.
No, I'm smiling because I'm like, oh, that's going to be...
That'll be our next series discussion.
The discourse, though.
Sound Euphonium.
Okay.
The discourse.
The discourse.
Get ready for it.
Motherfucking discourse. All right.
Santa's excited about Sound Euphonium.
I
just love those knees. Santa.
Oh, no. Come sit on my lap, Kimiko.
Kiss each other, but don't really.
I see you favor older men, Reyna. Would you like to sit on Santa's lap?
Oh, jeez. Okay. I'm excited.
See, this is why we shouldn't talk.
We make jokes about things.
Yes.
I don't take it seriously, but I will take it seriously when I watch. So I don't have a problem with, like, you are the one who is like, Sound Euphonium.
I don't have a major problem with it.
It's so good looking.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And I like the nostalgia drippy story, kind of.
I don't have big problems with Sound Euphonium.
You know what? I feel like we'll argue about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
I don't have big problems with that. I just occasionally mention something and, like, the discourse, the wave of discourse crashes down on me. But I don't talk about the show very much, and I don't have, like... I don't talk about the show very much. I don't understand why. Anyway.
No, we'll get to it. We'll have a discussion. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the bottom of why you hate Sound Euphonium so much.
I don't hate Sound Euphonium. The fuck? I don't hate it. I barely mention it, and people are like, brr! And I'm like, I shouldn't have talked about it. Anyway.
This then is why do we do a whole podcast about it?
That's hence my face. That's why I was smiling earlier. It's a grimace smile. It's a smile like your dog gives you when he's like kind of scared about something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have another question from the chat? We've been asked for flip-flap hot takes. Jacob, do you have a flip-flap hot take?
I don't think it's that hot of a take. I've seen it expressed. Flip-flappers has crossed a threshold where you're either really in it and you are devoted to what it's doing, or you're like, oops, this fell off the wagon. And I'm in the fell off the wagon camp. It's not bad. It's just, it's a bunch of little ideas that never coalesced into one cohesive thing, basically. And artistically, it's beginning to suffer, and the script is beginning to suffer. I think regardless of whether you're happy with the direction that it's gone or not, I think it's pretty easy to say that visually it's gone downhill, and writing-wise, it has become more blatant. It's not the show that it was. So it kind of became a different show, and in the process kind of lost its chance to bring the too many ideas it was playing with at the beginning into anything cohesive. So, but basically now it's just copying the beats from Evangelion and trying to apply them to its own narrative, which is not about the same things that Evangelion is. That's it. It's not a bad show. I think it's sort of a really pretty, easy to watch, sort of ambitious failure, in my opinion. But it doesn't really come together into anything that says much or does much with characters. Like, its characters are really, really underdeveloped. Its characters are mostly symbols in the Ikuhara kind of way, but then they didn't make the thematic symbol part work, so they're just flat stereotypes that are now just sort of being moved by the plot, because they decided it needed to be plot driven here at the end when it wasn't at all before. So yeah, it's just, but it's a gorgeous show. The most interesting thing about it is the aesthetic is great, the animation style is very great, unique. It really doesn't look like any other anime I've ever seen, so that's cool. However, it's substance wise it's kind of fallen apart a little bit, but you know, that's all right. It's still easy to watch, it's still entertaining.
Under the Cherry Tree asks, on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed were you in Kiznaiver? I'm going to give that like a 9.
I was disappointed from the start.
It could have said something.
Yeah, I was disappointed from the start because, like, disappointed, I think disappointment for me comes more when I, like, was enjoying something at the beginning and then it
shat the bed. I was enjoying it.
Oh, I wasn't from the beginning. I was like, oh.
The first couple, like, what's this going to say? And then it immediately gets, like, really.
Really mean-spirited.
Yeah, super mean-spirited.
Yeah. I would be more disappointed.
Everyone's an asshole and they all hate each other.
Yeah. I just disliked it. I would be disappointed if I had liked the first 5 to 7 episodes and then it should have been like Flip Floppers. I really, really. Flip Floppers had one of the best episodes of anything in this entire year. Episode 6 of Flip Floppers, like almost by itself, is really powerful. It made me cry. And then, whoop, down the hill. But, But I can't be disappointed in Kisniver because I, from the beginning, I was like, I don't really like this. And then it just got worse, so shrug.
All right. Okay, last question. Any thoughts on Attack on Titan Season 2? I don't know, man.
It's about damn time. Jesus fucking Christ.
Jeez.
Christ in a race car.
Yeah, too long.
They waited too long. I'm still excited. I like that story. But they waited too long. They waited too long. I give a shit, though.
I hope people still give a shit.
I do, too. I do, too.
Hope people still give a shit.
I do,
about
too.
About the Titans.
Fucking,
now, like,
fucking
Tetsuo
Araki, he had to go make his Titan fan fiction first.
So we live in Southern California, right? And there's a lot of, like, a tremendous amount of anime merchandise is available where we live,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Abnormally in this area, there's just a lot of shit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every clearance bin is full of Attack on Titan stuff.
They made a lot of it, to be fair.
Full of it.
Yes. I'm just saying.
Full of it.
I'm just saying, we can't be sure how much it will have suffered the lag until it airs. And I think that people will come back for it. Will it have lost something because it went too long? Yeah. Will it have lost a lot? I don't know about that. You know, the comics are still selling bukus in Japan and America still. Like, they have not, like, lowered necessarily in sales. So, you know. Sure. And the stuff that they're animating is crazy. It is fantastic.
Yeah,
I've not caught up on the manga. This is stuff from the manga from a long time ago because they waited too long. But the stuff that they're animating is going to be amazing. So, okay, sure.
All right. Okay, man, I think that about does it for us. Thanks to everybody in the live chat for showing up. Have relax. Mm-hmm. Have a great Christmas. Spend time with, pull your loved ones close to you. Mm-hmm. Give them a big hug. Say happy holidays, say Merry Christmas, say whatever you want, and have a great time. And we'll see you in a week or two. But keep an eye on Anime News Network because there's so much stuff coming up over the next week and a half. So we'll see y'all out there. Anyway, have a good one, guys. Take it easy.
Later, guys.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to everyone for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.